Good evening and welcome to the Victory Lane podcast. Tonight I have with me Dan Davis, the publisher of Victory Lane magazine. Good evening and welcome, Dan.
Hope all is well in your part of the Bay Area.
Certainly beautiful here.
We've got a nice sunny day and just thinking about the fall. Good bit of news talking to Tom O'Grady, president of the Formula Junior Historic North America Association.
Yeah, what's that?
They have a big feature for the Lime Rock Historics at Lime Rock Park. They're expecting over 20 Formula Juniors and should be everything you can think of. Elvas and Lotus and Lolas and BMCs and Borgios and Geminis and Stanguilinis and Tarashis and Bandinis. And, you know, the junior class was a big deal from 59 to 63, training and bringing along great drivers. I mean, not only in the U.S., you have drivers of note that went on to various things. Well, of course, Briggs Cunningham sponsored cars and raced at Le Mans, Walt Hangston, Charlie Barnes, Homer Raider, Nick Reynolds of the Kingston Trio, and international, it was, of course, probably the most famous, Jim Clark, Denny Hulme, Trevor Taylor. It was a big deal.
Yeah, it's an amazing car. My personal favorite is the Malik. I still remember standing at the bottom of the corkscrew the first time I saw that come over the hill.
Well, that was, of course, the junior anniversary reunion where there were like 50 cars at the Rolex Monterey Motorsport reunion a few years ago. Cars over the world, Australia, New Zealand, all over Europe. And, of course, the whole junior started with Italian Johnny Lorani saying, we need to train Italians, more of them, to get into Formula One. And by 1958, the Italian front engine juniors were the rage, from Stanguilini and Bandini and Tarashi and the list. The English got into the game. Cooper, a little bit early with their mid-engine problem. In 59, Lotus arrived big time late 59 and came to dominate the class with Lola doing a pretty good job. Actually, a Lola won the last ever Formula Junior race at Monaco. I can't quote you what year it was, but I would assume it was 63.
Certainly, those are all wonderful cars. One of the pleasures of being a fan of vintage racing is looking at the less common solutions to problems. It's one of the things that makes historical events a lot of fun to go to, is that diversity of engineering and ideas.
Well, you were pleased to have seen some of the fields in North America the first year it was recognized in 59. There were a lot of the little H-modified converted, you know, saw the fenders off and call them a formula car. And of course, the formula, I guess we should mention, is either 1,000cc pushrod or 1,100cc pushrod engine derived from a production car in a 3,000-pound chassis. Well, it was 800 pounds if you were 1,000cc, 880 if you or 1100, open wheel, formula car, production-based gearbox, to be low cost, which it was the first few years. But of course, like every other race car class, they got expensive and quicker.
Anything you can apply technology to, you can apply money to in the same sentence, right? Did you ever race a Formula Junior in period?
I did. I did race it in period. I did race some in vintage. My best period race was when SCCA continued the class through 64. I did a few races in the Southwest. My best race was winning British Festival, sponsored by the British Consulate, to open the Houston Astrodome. And we had a weekend of racing there. We won two first place big trophies. And as well as one of the several favored British cars by the British consulate. So, yeah, I had a good weekend.
Sounds it. Also, I think it's pretty unique that the British consulate sponsored the opening of the Houston Astrodome. That must be a good story in and of itself.
Well, you know, in those days, the grid during that weekend, it was probably Lees and MGs and Triumphs and Jaguars. And so, you know, the British were earning a lot of foreign exchange by shipping race cars over to the U.S. But, you know, vintage has seen a lot of juniors come out to play. The fields have been very large and very varied, with most of the makes represented. Again, I did get to race one of the better vintage races.
Where was that?
That was the opening and the first ever Monaco Historics in 1997.
Wow.
And I was lucky enough to drive a Lola 5A, which is the type that won the 63 Monaco. And we had a team of Americans versus Europeans, Doug Mockett and a Cooper, Duncan Dayton, Cooper, Gil Nickel, Lotus 27, myself in a 5A. We did edge out the Europeans, thanks to Duncan Dayton and his Cooper. It was a close, I think we only won by a couple of points or so, but racing a junior on a circuit that is a treat, to say the least.
Well, that has to be one of the big features of racing juniors, of course, is that they're absolutely welcome at all the best events. And, you know, if you look at the calendar, it's literally a who's who and where's where of where to participate.
Well, Duncan Robilotti has done a super job of the International Historic Formula Junior Group with representative groups and all over Asia, also New Zealand, Australia. They race in Scandinavian countries. They race South Africa. They race Germany, England. An incredible group with probably close to, I would say, 200 cars on their registry, if not more, worldwide.
Wow.
Very competitive racing, but with that great spirit of camaraderie that the best of vintage racing has.
They're great cars, right?
Real race car. It's a high revving, 9,000 RPM on the latest cars, narrow torque range, 5 or 6 speed mid mount engine to the 5 or 6 speed gearbox. And you have to really race them like you would race a bigger open wheel car. So they are respond to suspension setup. They respond to shock training. It's a real race.
I would imagine, too, that with those narrow, hard compound tires, that you have to be willing to live with a little bit of sliding to race it at the front of the pack.
Well, that is certainly part of the fun. The fact that you can set the car up to your driving preference, oversteer, understeer. Of course, you can optimize the gears. I think at Monaco, and I may be a bit optimistic, coming out of the tunnel, you were doing 130, 35 miles an hour at Monaco.
Wow. Obviously, Monaco, one of the world's great stadiums for motor racing. That must have been an amazing experience, both on track and off. I imagine Monaco is a pretty exotic, glamorous place to spend your afternoons between sessions.
But, of course, as Masika, so is Lime Rock, so are some of the others.
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah, of course, you know. But I suppose in my imagination, the Monaco's a little more exotic than Laguna Seca, since I can't drive there.
Well, if we got into talking about the parties every night and the ambience and the incredible history dating back to 29 and all of that, that's for another podcast.
Well, that sounds good. We should talk a little bit about what we have scheduled upcoming. We should have Jeanette from Vara on the podcast. And I believe you also were arranging a conversation with Bill Wolf. Is that correct?
Well, of course, Bill wrote this incredible Club Racer Goes to Le Mans in 1984. You know, a raw club racer entering one of the world's great, if not the greatest race. And we just had to print that in its entirety, his whole adventure in like 16 pages in the May issue. And it just sucks you in. I mean, you're sitting in the seat with him. He's a great writer.
Well, that sounds pretty exciting. I would imagine a lot of our listeners are probably subscribers, but if they're not, they'd probably want to pick up the magazine and read that. How would they get in touch with you to subscribe to the magazine, Dan?
They can call our California number, 650-321-1411. And that's generally Pacific Coast time from 9 to roughly 5 o'clock.
There are other ways that you can subscribe.
Well, as a reminder, I'm sorry to talk over you, but go to victorylane.com. And obviously, if you're on the podcast, you probably know about that, but we might mention it again. You can subscribe via PayPal on the website.
Well, there you go. I'd certainly recommend subscribing to the magazine, but I may have a little self-interest in that. This has been a great chat, Dan. It's
been a great chat, and we'll talk more about Formula Juniors in the next few weeks. We'll see if we can get Tom O'Grady on the podcast, talk about his organization and his plans for Lime Rock. And next year, I think it'll be another big year for Formula Junior. So it's been great to be with you, and have a great evening.
Thanks, Dan. Good evening to you. Great as always.